John chapter 10. Let's start at verse 7 and read to at least verse 21. And I know that's a lot of reading. That's probably about a week of Bible reading for a lot of us. But let's read John 7. John 10, verses 7 through 21. It says, "And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore do my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He have a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" And others said, "These are not the words of him that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?"
Amen. Amen.
Precious Lord, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the power of God. And then we thank you for calling us to be sheep. To be sheep of this great shepherd. And what a great shepherd he is, Father God. We should want to follow him to wherever he leads us. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for our hearts and minds that are concentrated, that are able to concentrate this morning on the good shepherd, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Interesting text, and I started at verse number 11. I just wanted to read all that. But verse number 11 says, "For I am the good shepherd. And the shepherd give his life for the sheep." And then I started thinking about it. I said, okay, we got a shepherd here, and we got a sheep here. We got two groups. Okay. And then I was wondering, what is a sheep? What is a sheep? And you guys know, I get caught up in different things like that. I'm like, what's a sheep? So that'll be sort of like part two. And then part one is be the good shepherd. What's a good shepherd? The Bible says in John 10, 11 through 13, "For I am a good shepherd, and a good shepherd, not just a shepherd, a good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What's God saying? The good shepherd is willing to not so much just die for the sheep. Okay? The word has more meaning in it than just dying. Okay? Because there's so many things that can cause, when I say shepherd here, I talk about maybe a pastor, a minister. Okay? So many things the world can expose you to and put before you that you're going to want to do besides taking care of the sheep. Okay? Now, the Bible says a good shepherd gives his life. That means it's going to cost him something. There's sacrifice built into the terminology. It's going to cost you. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 3 and 1, it says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, elder, pastor, he desires a good work. It's work. It's good work, but it's work. Okay? And the word work means labor. And with labor comes adversity and challenges when you are a laborer. Many of us in here have worked on the jobs and we've had run into problems on the job, maybe problems with foremen and problems with co-workers. But because we are laborers and because we have responsibility, we just not going to quit. We're not going to just walk away because with the challenges that come with labor.
Amen.
Okay. All of us have. All of us that have worked in here, we've had problems. And many of us in here have retired. Some of you worked 30 years at Packard. And Evelina recently retired after 25 years in federal government work. And I'm pretty sure if you sit down and talk to her, she probably has some real challenges along that way.
Amen.
I'm almost certain that Margaret did because of her personality. I know she just had some problems with working at Packer, getting through 32, 33 years. That had to be a challenge.
Amen.
And I can go on and on. All of us around here that have worked long term. I know Claire worked a long time at the light company. And I'm pretty sure she dealt with some things. And Jake just beginning his career as a fireman, he's going to run into some things. But one thing for certain, he's not going to come home and tell Jackie and them two babies who, you know, and Jackie liked to shop. And he's not going to come home and say, I quit because I had a bad day.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, Jackie? Good shepherd. The Bible says he giveth his life, or he lays down his life for the sheep. Not going to just quit. David, the great shepherd David, he was getting ready to battle with Goliath, and his brothers was just getting on him. What did you come here to see? To see a fight? David said, I don't see nothing. No fighting going on here, okay? No fighting going on here. Y'all sitting over here trembling and scared. Ain't no fighting going on here. But David said, I'll go battle him. Because David heard him say something. David heard him curse the God of Israel. And David told Saul, I'll go. Send me. I'll go. David didn't say that like that, but that was, I believe that was Isaiah. But David said, I'll go. And what did he base his going on? His base is going on some of the things he experienced in being a shepherd. He said, and Saul was like, you can't go. And everybody was like, you can't go. You're just a ruddy little guy. And he said, when I was out in the field, when I was tending the sheep, I laid my life down for the sheep. And the man of God can lay his life down for the sheep when he knows God has his back.
Amen.
God had David back. And David said, when I was tending the sheep, a bear came and a lion, and I slaughtered them both. I killed them both. What is to stop me from this uncircumcised palace Philistine? It's going to cost you something to serve God. It's going to cost you something to serve God. It costs our great example his very life. Turn with me to Hebrews. To Hebrews 13 and 20. And we see this great king, this great God that we serve on notice here in Hebrews 13 verses 20. I believe it's 20. It says, now the God of peace. How about that? God has a lot of names.
Amen.
That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. And we know why he died.
Uh-huh.
Okay? We know why he had to be brought again from the dead, because he died for our sins. He laid down his life for the sheep. Okay? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, of the sheep. Now notice he said of the sheep. He didn't say of the sheep and goats. Okay? Now he said of the sheep. He says that great shepherd of the sheep. You cannot shepherd goats. Okay? Why? Because goats are going to do what goats do.
Amen.
Whatever they want to do. There's no shepherding goats. Goats come and go as they want. They don't have no rule over them. But here's the great shepherd of the sheep. How did he do it? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. The last covenant we are ever going to have from Jesus is Calvary. Him dying on Calvary ushered in the new covenant. And it's an everlasting covenant.
Amen.
It's an everlasting covenant. This great shepherd of the sheep. First Peter. I think about when you think about this great shepherd. And you know what? Some of us in here right now want a crown. We want something. You know, I always talk about it with the kids when we do a ministry at the prison. They always want something. I mean, if you're not going to get them to come unless you give them something. They need something to participate. Uh-huh. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. If you're looking for something now for your participation, you're probably in the wrong building.
Amen.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. Because God's word has promised us that in 1 Peter 5. And it talks about the role of the great shepherd or a pastor. People say, well, I don't know. There's nothing in the Bible about being a pastor and the job of a pastor and his job description. Yes, it is.
Amen.
Okay? Yes, it is. There's a role. There's a job description for the pastor. You ought to know it. You ought to know it. As sheep, you ought to know what your shepherd is supposed to do. He says this, 1 Peter 5. He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort, I command, I demand, who am also an elder. Here's Peter talking. And a witness of the suffering of Christ. Peter witnessed it. Okay? And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's the description. Feed the flock of God which is among you. How about that? Feed the flock. Feed the flock. That's the job. That's the duty. That's the job description. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Okay? Oversight, overseers.
Amen.
Where you get your oversight from? The Word of God. Word of God. We talked about this morning. Second Timothy, real quick. You don't have to turn there. You're familiar with it. I'm just going to turn there real quick. Second Timothy 3. Those in Sunday school might have it still marked. Second Timothy 3. How do we do this? How do we feed the sheep? Scripture.
Amen.
I said it last week. Sheep want scripture.
Amen.
Sheep want scripture. Goats want junk. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why, Paul? Why should we do this? That the man of God, that the woman of God may be mature, may be perfect, may be growing, may be learning, may become mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter.
Amen.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. You right. I can't make nobody nothing. Okay. You know, sheep, God has given sheep the great ability to hear, to know his voice. You know, sheep know the shepherd's voice. That's a great gift. God didn't give that to all of us as humans. We don't know the voice of God. We hear so many voices, we don't know when God's talking. But if all the sheep was out and mixed with other sheep, when that shepherd hollered out to his sheep, whatever word he used, maybe like a quarterback calling audibles, Montana, Montana, whatever, you know, all the sheep would come. They knew his voice. Here's the oversight of a shepherd. Stay with me. Not by constraint, being a bully, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not just for money.
Amen.
Can't do this. I tell people all the time, you can't do this. You can't do this for money.
Amen.
Okay, you couldn't. You can't pastor church for money. If this is a job, then you're not going to preach the word.
Amen.
Honestly, if this is your job, you worried about your job. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Being an example. Being a model. And some of y'all wouldn't like it at all. If you wondered if I came to pastor, if I was at church today. I wonder if the pastor's gonna show up, he's gonna take a day off. I wonder if the pastor's gonna be. I mean, think about that. Because some churches worry about that. I wonder if the pastor's gonna be there today. I wonder if the pastor's preaching today. I wonder if he's going to show up on Wednesday night. But that's okay. That's the rules for the pastor.
Amen.
Okay? Here's the verse I wanted to get to. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he's going to appear. He's going to appear. You may not think he's going to appear, but he's going to appear.
Amen.
And you know what? All them data boys and pat on the backs that you want down here when the chief shepherd comes. Okay?
Yeah.
And when you going to get your pat on the back? That's when I'll have my pastor anniversary or my pastor appreciation day. When the chief shepherd comes. Okay?
Amen.
Then you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen.
The shepherd. The chief shepherd. We call him the chief shepherd. We call him the great shepherd. He got all kind of shepherd names. Let me look at this verse. Because I want to talk about sheep for a little bit today. Here's a great verse. Now y'all very familiar with this one because if you was here on Wednesday, we spent about 8 months on Psalms 23. And every Wednesday night was fresh and almost brand new. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? Now I hear this one read a lot. People read this all the time. Is he your shepherd? Is he Lord over your life? Is your life lining up with what the Lord is saying? And really it can't line up if you don't know what it says.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Why? Because the sheep don't like running water, moving water. They don't like it. They like it still. But they shy animals and scary animals. They think if they lick too hard, they're going to fall in it. And they can't get out. They're not equipped to swim or nothing. And the wool will weigh them down. He restored my soul. Has your soul been restored? Really, when you think about Jesus and his conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him at night. And we make a big deal of him coming at night. But the big deal was, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, you need your soul restored. Okay? You need a new soul. See, some of us trying to do the Lord's work with an old, worn out soul. A soul that's been infected and contaminated by the world. You need a new soul. This is why I say church is for folks that have new souls.
Amen.
See, the reason why we have so many issues in church, we got folks that haven't been restored, haven't been born again. They come into the church, and next thing you know, they singing, and they ushering, and they trustees, and they deacons, and they.
Amen.
And you had to do lost folks trying to do God's work. Uh-huh. And they had to have their souls restored. He restored my soul. And you have to ask yourself, has my soul been restored? And the qualification that your soul been restored is not that you don't sin. But we all fall short of the glory of God, or God wouldn't have put it to 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. We all going to fall short. We all going to sin. But a restored soul is going to go to the master and say, Lord, forgive me for I have sinned.
Amen. That's right.
He restored my soul. He leaded me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's all about him, not me.
Amen.
God didn't save us to give ourselves glory. He saved us to give him glory. He saved us to give him glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, and all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God.
Amen.
When God saves us, person, his life becomes a glorifying thing to God.
Amen.
To God. Here's the one I got highlighted. I got this highlighted for a reason. Yay, with this restored soul, with this person who had been led beside the still waters, this person whose Lord is Jesus, you are still going to walk through some valleys. You, with your restored soul, with your born again soul and your new relation with the Lord, you still going to have struggles. You're still going to have battles, and you're still going to have a warfare within you. Because that restored soul, that old soul just ain't just leaving.
Amen.
It's still going to badger you and tempt you and try you and test you and tell you you phony and you fake and you ain't real. And all that church stuff don't mean nothing, because I know you still belong to me.
Amen.
How many have heard that? How many have had those conversations with their old soul? And yea, though I walk, I'm on the move. I'm moving. Didn't say, yea, though I sit. Okay? Some of us just sitting in our mess. We got a mess and we just sit in it. Okay? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And how many of those shadows don't have no power? Shadows don't have no power.
Amen.
We scared of our own shadows. David said, I walk through the shadows. I'm not scared of them. But some of us are scared of our own shadows. You know, some when we was little, we could make little monsters with the lights perfect and on the wall, and the kids go crazy. It's just a shadow. There's a show back in the 60s, I believe, called The Shadow Man. You have to Google that one, Jake. I will fear no evil. That's not a suggestion. David's not suggesting that to you guys. See, some of us fear evil. And there's evil all around us. So if you fear evil, you're going to be traumatized and paralyzed. Your evil's going to happen to you. I see a generation of kids, PTSD, PTSD, PTSD. And really what they're saying is something's happened to you that's caused you to behave a certain way. Well, let me tell you something. I'm PTSD as anybody.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And all of us in here, PTSD. What Toya's dealing with now is PTSD. It's called life. And it's called she's in a valley and she got to keep moving.
Amen.
Or the valley will consume you. You got to move. Yay! I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. And all of us have lost folks and buried folks that too soon and too many. But you can't stay there. You got to move. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Go have some joy. It's going to come back. A couple weeks from now, a month from now, Toya gonna be just as silly and giddy as she was. Because God is great. He's not gonna let his sheep just wonder what happened when a sheep just gets stuck. He become vulnerable. You can't defend yourself. You're a sheep. You got to stay on the move. And I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, the child of God. I say all the time, we ought not mourn like those who don't know God. Okay? Amen. Why? Because thou art with me. We got a God that's deep down in our spirits and in our soul. We know he's there. And then just in case, this is troublesome for some folks. Because they don't want a shepherd. You know, think about it, you had a shepherd, and the sheep seen a shepherd. And they say, we got a shepherd, don't have no rod, no staff. You know, that's standard equipment for the shepherd. Okay? That's standard equipment for the shepherd. And the staff is to help the sheep, because sheep get into stuff, and the staff helps them. But see, we like the staff, but we don't like the rod. See?
Amen.
See, we when the wolves come into the church, and when the wolves come into the pack, and the wolves come into the sheepfold. Now, the staff ain't for the wolves. The rod is for the wolves.
Amen.
And see, we start hitting them predators and hitting them folks in the head with that come in to cause us problems and cause us damage. Oh, that, you know, don't you know, it's like sheep telling the shepherd, don't, we like our wolves.
Uh-huh.
We like the wolves.
Uh-huh. Amen.
No, don't hit them with the rod. Don't hit them with the rod. Some of you here right now today because your parents used a rod on you.
Yeah.
Okay? And our prisons are full of folks that don't, nobody used a rod on them.
That's right.
Prison full of folks, nobody used a rod on them.
Amen.
No rod of correction.
That's right.
And they grew up doing what they wanted to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me to do nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody going to tell me to do nothing. Well, let me tell you something. Somebody going to tell you. Somebody gonna tell you to do something. One day, ain't nobody above correction.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
Nobody. Now, let me keep on. Let me talk about these sheep. Because see, if the Lord is your shepherd, then you're a sheep. Let's talk about sheep. Now, just in case somebody says, well, sheep, you know, I know what you're gonna say. Sheep are dumb animals, sheep are stupid animals. You know, let me tell you something. When Jesus' cousin seen him coming, what did he call him? What did John the Baptist call Jesus in John 1:16 when Jesus was coming? What did John the Baptist call him? Stupid. He called him stupid. If you call sheep stupid, he said, behold, the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That cometh to take away the sins of the earth. And you know what? The thief on the cross, the one that went to hell, know what he was saying about Jesus? He was calling him stupid.
Yeah.
He said, listen, you knucklehead. He called all kind of crazy stuff. Save yourself. I know you got the power to do it. I've seen some of your miracles. There was a man standing there in which he was born blind. The woman with issue of blood probably was there. I know you saved others. Save us. Save yourself and me. Let's get out of here, stupid. Why? Because he was doing what a lamb was designed to do, a sacrifice. He was sacrificing. Well, let me say this. Sheep are wayward. What's that mean, Pastor? Strong-willed, rebellious, unruly, disobedient. Sheep, all that, okay? And then if they don't have a shepherd, they're gonna wander off. They're going to wander off. If you know about a sheep, they ain't wander off. They ain't going to find their home. Your cat will find his way home. Your dog break loose. Ruby break loose. Ruby got an opportunity, a chance to do something the sheep can't do. Ruby will find her way back home. Maybe not in the new house in Portman yet. Okay? But if a sheep wander off, now a sheep. Okay? See, we get confused between sheep and goats.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If a sheep wanders off, the shepherd can go get him and bring him back. Because the sheep won't want to come back.
Uh-oh.
Okay? But if a goat wander off, they don't want to come back. Because they don't say, well, we ain't sheep. Nobody telling me what to do.
Uh-huh.
Nobody telling me how to dress. Bible said we all like sheep.
Yes.
Not a one of us in here haven't wandered off at one time, point or another. What brought you back? Why you come back? Because the Spirit of God is in you.
Amen.
Some of us can't, some of us would be totally lost. If you can wander off. Think of the word God says in 1 John somewhere. They left us. Okay? Because they were what?
Never with us.
But of a true sheep with the Spirit of God in them, you can't function without your church.
Amen.
There is no way you can be gone from a church.
Uh-huh.
90, 120 days, 4 or 5 months, a year you've been away from the church.
Uh-huh.
And you tell me you got the Spirit of God in you.
Uh-huh.
And you could be gone for 6 months. Impossible.
Amen.
Impossible. You cannot tell me that you are a child of God and you can go without fellowship and without sitting under the word of God, without being in church for 90 days, 120 days,
yep.
6 months, 6 weeks. Back in the day, so I said, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You better check yourself. If you can stay away from the fellowship and being around God's people, and you say you got the power of God living in you. Let me tell you something. Listen to Charles Stanley on the radio, okay? And listen to J. Vernon McGee, and I love both of them. That ain't going to get it, okay? Okay? The Word of God says in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together with believers.
Amen.
And that don't mean you had to come here. You don't like it here? You're the bald head man spitting all the time, always talking about sin. I'm going somewhere where it ain't so heavy. Go. Be under the word, the preached word. Fellowship. Rub shoulders with somebody.
Yes.
Get up out of here. Call me. Send me a letter. Send me a letter and say, I've joined another church. Sheep are weak. We said, I don't want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a wolverine. I want to be a bear. I want to be a lion. No, you're a sheep. Okay? And you don't know a sheep. A sheep, you ask a sheep for something. When people talk about tongues, sheep speak in tongues. You ask a sheep, you say, listen, I need all your wool. I need the wool from behind your ears. I need the wool going all the way back. I need 2 years worth of your wool. I need all your wool.
Uh-oh.
You know what a sheep going to say?
Bah.
Yeah. Bah. Which
means,
yep, you the shepherd, it's going to grow back. Just take what you need.
Uh-huh.
See? She ain't gonna say, well, you know what? I can't give you my wool. If you try to take it, I'm gonna get a lawyer.
We.
Sheep don't do that.
Amen.
Sheep don't kick and scratch and bite.
Amen.
Sheep are sheep. And all sheep do is say, take the wool.
Amen.
You take it. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this.
Come on.
Y'all don't want to hear this.
Amen.
Sheep don't rise up.
Amen.
She's going to rise up as a shepherd. She ain't got no sharp teeth.
That's right.
She's going to have claws. They don't. They got little tiny teeth. And that's why they got to have the green pastures, because they can't chew the coarse stuff. Uh-huh. They can't defend themselves. They can't fight back.
Uh-huh. Amen.
They sheep. They sheep. Dogs bite.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbits can run. Sheep can't run for nothing.
Uh-huh.
The sheep can't get away for nothing. See, a skunk can do something. Think of the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Y'all know the story of Little Red Riding Hood. And she just going to her grandma's house. Grandma's house represents the church in this story. And she going to grandma's house like she do all the time. And the wolf know her path. She going to grandma's house on Sunday. She going to the house of God. So the wolf go to grandma's house, and I don't know what she did to grandma, what the wolf did to grandma. Tied her up. I don't know. It's a baby story, so she didn't do like today's story. They would cut grandma's head off, and you know, when Mary and when little Robin Hood get there, whatever her name is, Riding Robin.
Red.
Now y'all think we make one want a hamburger.
Red
Riding Hood. And you know, when today's story would be grandma's head all out of the ceiling and the blood everywhere. So little Red Riding Hood gets to grandma's house. So, grandma, something different about you. Grandma, what big eyes you have. And grandma, what big hands you have. And what big nose you have. And y'all know the rest of that story. I don't even know where that came from. But sheep are weak. You know sheep. They're weak. They're going to follow the shepherd. Because the shepherd's there to protect them. Even when they don't want to be protected. The shepherd is there to protect them. It's not like our kids. Our kids don't want to be protected. Like, we even talking about this in Sunday school today. Listen, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. What I want to do. Let your kids do what they want to do. Let them do it. Let them do what they want to do. Tell them come in when you want to. Leave when you want to. You don't have to be accountable. And then you're going to have a mess.
Yeah. Amen.
You're going to have a mess.
Amen.
Sheep. 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 Walk together. Sheep stay together. Okay? Sheep stay together. Look at Ecclesiastes 4:10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he have not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And then it says this, y'all familiar with this? A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And you know, I say all that about sheep, and I want to make sure you know if you're a sheep or a wolf, or you're a sheep or a goat. You need to know what you are.
Amen.
You can't be faking this thing.
Amen.
Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Or I'm a sheep or I'm a wolf. Am I a sheep? Because sheep follow the shepherd.
Amen.
Okay. And a lot of good shepherds have sheep dogs.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't have a problem with calling me a sheep dog. But the sheep dog is there to help the shepherd keep the sheep. Keep the sheep in line.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. See, I can say all that. Ask yourself. Am I a sheep?
Mm-hmm.
You will know. Listen. See how this verse hit you. 1 Peter 1:18. One of my favorite verses in Peter, because it talks about Peter's relationship with God. And Peter said, I'm a sheep. And the reason he knew he was a sheep, because he knew what happened. Something had to happen to Peter for him to understand, I am a sheep and called. Watch this now. I'm gonna close with this. This ain't gonna be a long sermon today. Peter says this: for as much as you know, sheep, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. That word redeemed means bought back. The price God paid to cleanse you of your sin. The price God paid to forgive you. Okay? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Corruptible things were being junk. Junk can't save you. Junk messages can't save you. Okay? You have to be, if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved with incorruptible things. Now watch where this text goes. You were not redeemed with corruptible things. I hear people all the time. They say they never heard the gospel. They never heard the gospel. They never heard the gospel. They have no clue what John 3:16 even means.
Amen.
They struggle. I say, well, you know, and I talk about the Holy Ghost life insurance policy. Some of y'all were here when I taught it. And it's 289. It's your policy number. You know, you call AAA or something. They say, can I have your policy number? So when you get to heaven, you're going to have a policy number. And the policy number is 289-316-146. Think about it. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. In 1:4-6, John 14:6, for Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman. These fighting words. No Muslim, no Mormon, no. Nobody comes to the Lord but through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So you put all that other stuff, put the Quran away. You're not getting to Jesus. You're not getting to heaven. Put your rosary beads away. Okay? All your Hail Marys and you can put Joseph Smith and all the Mormon teachers and Seventh-day Adventists and all that stuff. There's only one way. One way. That's your insurance policy. 289-316-146. Get to heaven. Y'all going to be shocked. I'll say, well, you know, what's your policy number? Be like, man, I'm one number off. One number off. You know how these computers work. One number off. You know they're gonna send me my password. Well, you get to heaven, you ain't gonna be able to send you your email. Ain't gonna be able to send you a new password to your email. You better know something when you get to heaven. You stand before the Lord. You better know something. You better know something. Listen, folks. I know. You know, pastor's a little cranky. Feel like you sometime under attack. And when the flock, when the pastor's under attack, the flock's under attack.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now they got a rod and a staff. Well, you know, just don't do nothing. Just go down. Just go down. Like the wicked witch of the east or the west, or which one was melting. I'm melting. Just. Let me say this. Jesus was a warrior, folks. Okay?
Amen.
Let me tell y'all something. A lot of folks don't follow the Lord. A lot of young people, they come into the joint, and the first thing, I'm a Muslim. Know why they want to be a Muslim? Because they look at Islam as being tough.
Uh-huh.
They look at Islam as being tough. Islam ain't tough.
Uh-huh.
Christianity is tough. Amen. We serve a tough God. He was tough. How tough did he have to be to step on Calvary's cross?
Yeah, that's right.
To Amen. Take them nails. To let somebody spit in his face and die. No, he was going to die. He was tough. Jesus was tough. And we got this God that's so weak and milk toast and, I mean, feminine almost. Looked like he almost transitioned in Jesus.
Oh, man.
We got this God that we serve today. Nobody want nothing to do with.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. When Jesus said, when he gave his policy number, when he was still before all these kings and all these different religions, and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. You know what he's saying? All other ways to heaven are hellbound.
Amen.
That'll get you some nails.
Amen.
John 3:16 is one of the most violent verses in the Bible. We think it's a game. But Jesus said, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, what did he say to the ones that don't believe in him?
That's right.
You see, we don't look at it the flip side of it. We know John 3:16 and we think it's, we tattoo it on us. John 3:16. But what you're really saying is, Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other way.
Amen.
No other way.
That's right.
That's why you don't see that no more. Used to be in the NFL when they scored a touchdown. 3:16, be all over the end zone. Take that down. Take that down. See? And then anyone, now, I don't want y'all to take this as an endorsement. I'm not endorsing what the NFL players are doing. I'm not. Okay? Because, see, they're company men, and they on the job. And when we worked at General Motors and Pack, we can do what we wanted to do. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. They want us to stand for the flag. But what's the flag standing for? What's America standing for? See? What's America standing for? Okay? Homosexuality, legalized drugs, LGBT, and transitioning, abortion. What's America standing for? They want us to stand for the flag. But what's America stand for? What's America stand for? Think about it. What's America standing for? You stand for Jesus.
Amen.
You stand for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You stand for Jesus. And when Jesus stands for God, excuse me, when America stands for Jesus, stand. Let's all stand. Stand for God. Let's all stand for God. Let's all stand for God. And I know it ain't easy. I sit here and I preach because, like I say, I'm not one to sit there and say, well, you know, we'll finish up next week. You won't hear me say that in any of these sermons. I try to preach hard as I can.
Amen.
Next week ain't guaranteed.
Amen.
For any of us, not just me. With me out there, one of y'all may not be here next week.
Amen.
One of y'all may not be here next week, but then you may be sitting somewhere and you may be on your last few breaths, and you will know that in Holy Ghost, God in policy number, it ought to mean something to you. Go home and study them verses. What we got going on? That's Mary's baby. All right.